Good morning. Before we open God's Word, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we give thanks again unto Thee for our Lord Jesus. We thank Thee, Lord, for the gift of everlasting life that we have in Him. And we just pray, Lord, that if there's any here today that know not their eternal salvation before Thee, that they would have their eyes opened, that they would turn to the Savior while there's time. We do pray that Thou bless Thy Word now as we look to Thee and give thanks in that worthy and precious name. Amen. So we'll continue with the chart today. What I have in mind, it will start with a reading in the book of Mark, chapter 1. It always works when you're setting it up, and when it's time to actually have the meeting, it's settings. There. So just as a recap real briefly, we have the two roads chart. Let's get rid of some of the mess here. So we have two roads. Everybody's on one of these two roads right here. This one, either this one or this one. And everybody's heading towards this pillar of death, in which after you cross that pillar, you're either going to be in this route over towards the lake of fire, or you're going to be in this route towards the heavens and the new earth. And what we want to speak about today was basically over here, this finger that's pointing at the door. You always got to be careful who we're pointing at, because you always got fingers pointing back at yourself when you do that. But this morning, I want to talk about how to know that you're in the door. And basically, I want to speak about three things: repentance, acceptance, and assurance. So let's read a verse in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." This is the Lord Jesus himself. He's saying, repent and believe the gospel. And then I also want to turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 21. This is Paul speaking. He was speaking to the elders at Ephesus, and he's getting ready to leave, and he says to them in verse 21, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." These two things have been brought out before me, that the Lord Jesus brought out and Paul brought out, is the fact we have repentance and we have faith. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I wanted to have a couple of questions. You know, what is repentance? You know, a lot of people have an idea of what repentance is, but they don't always know, especially if you've been brought up in some other religions. Repentance is not penance, penitence. Penitence is showing sorrow for sin. You know, Esau was one that showed a lot of sorrow for sin, but he couldn't repent. He couldn't repent before God. And even though he sought it with sorrow, it says in Hebrews. And then repentance is not penance. Penance is trying to find an effort in which you can make up for the sin. It's almost like, okay, I sinned, and now I'm going to make up for it by doing something. You can't make up for sins. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no way to make up for wrongdoing. It's impossible. So repentance is not penance. Repentance is not reformation or cleaning up your life. It's not something you can do to change your life to all of a sudden just be perfect and fit for heaven. So repentance is not that. Repentance is really strictly defined as a change of mind. If you change your mind, it's a reversal of your inward attitude towards God and what God tells us in His Word. That's what repentance is. It's a change, a reversal in your attitude towards God. So He's telling us in His Word, repent and believe the gospel. He gives us an example in Luke 13. We can go look at that for a couple of minutes. Luke 13. Verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. These people here, they were talking to the Lord Jesus. They were trying to get him to give his input about what happened. Because all these terrible things happened where people died and they perished. And he's trying to get the Lord Jesus to give his input. Well, the Lord says, well, do you think they were sinners above all sinners because such things happened to them? He said, no. Unless you repent, you're going to perish just like they did. So he's trying to get them to understand that they thought that they were better than everybody. They thought that they were okay because God judged these people of something bad that happened. And now these people think, well, I'm okay. I'm not as bad as that. So I'm okay. And the Lord says, no. Unless you repent, unless you change your attitude, unless you reverse what you've been thinking, you will perish like they did. So, what is repentance? Repentance toward God. What does that mean? Well, you're changing your mind about what you think about God. You're starting to agree with God. There's verses in the scriptures, like for instance, for all have sinned. Everybody knows that verse. It's a common one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that verse say? It says, all have sinned. Everybody. There isn't a single person that you could find, except the Lord Jesus, that has never sinned. And it says, and come short of the glory of God. You're short. There's nothing you can do about it. You're already short. And then in Romans 3 and 12, it says, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. God is showing us that none of us have ever done good. We've all sinned. We've all come short. So even as you're sitting there in the chair right now, you've come short. You haven't been able to please God. So it doesn't do any good to think in your mind, well, I'm okay, I'm better than somebody else. When God Himself is already telling you, you're already short. So when you repent, you start agreeing with God. You start agreeing that your sins are taking you to hell. I can remember that was one of the biggest things that scared me before I got saved. When I started hearing God's word and hearing about what hell was like, and if I had died at any moment, that's where I would be. Never to have a second chance to get out of it. And God is telling me to repent. Start changing the way you're thinking. Stop thinking about what you think is right. What does God say is right? What does he say in his word is the way to get to heaven? So why would a person repent? You know, there's a lot of people that are on this road. If we were to read that verse in Matthew, there's a lot of people on this road and they're having fun. They're not only having fun, but a lot of them are pretty rich. They're not only having fun and pretty rich, but they look around and nobody else is worried about it. Nobody else seems to be worried that, you know, that they're on this road that leads to death and hell. Why should I? There's just so many people on that road that don't seem to ever worry about repenting. And yet God says, repent and believe. Well, maybe somebody decides they finally understand that there's eternal pain down here and over here. Maybe they might decide, well, maybe I better repent. Because according to the Bible, there is no way out of here. None. If a person finds himself down there, they're there forever. Never to have a second chance. Where are you going to be for eternity? So maybe somebody might decide they do want to repent. Maybe they do want to change their thinking. Maybe they do want to reverse their course because they're afraid of being in hell. That was me. I was afraid of being there. You know, some maybe even decided they repent because they realize they're hurting God. Your sins hurt God, which is incredible that God would even consider saving our souls. It says in Romans chapter 2, it says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent or unapologetic heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." You know, there are people that might actually realize that they're hurting God and how good God has been to them, to bless them, to keep judgment from falling. Somebody might repent and change their mind because they realize they're hurting somebody. They're hurting a living God that has truly blessed you, that has kept and preserved you, that has done so many great things for you, and yet you still continue to hurt him. You continue to not trust him. And it makes you wonder sometimes why people don't repent, why they continue on that broad road, not caring where they're going to be for eternity. So repentance is a change in direction of one's attitude. If you stole something from somebody and you finally admitted it was wrong and returned it, you've repented. You've changed your direction. You've changed your thinking. Obviously, you thought it was okay when you took it, but now you realize you admit that it was wrong, so you repent. If you say something mean to somebody and later you admit it was wrong to say that, you change your attitude and you apologize. That's repenting. Repenting is changing your direction altogether. And the Lord Jesus, God, is telling us we need to repent. Stop thinking of what you think is right And what does God say is right? So maybe so far you have not trusted the Bible as God's word. If you repent, repentance means now you're going to start trusting God's word. You're going to look in the Bible and you're going to say, what does God say? What does God say in his word? Because it is his word. And you know something? What's really great about the Bible is God put it in writing. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take anybody's word for it. God wrote it down. And you can see what the truth really is. You know, when God says you must be born again, I must be born again. What does that mean? It says that in his word. You must be born again. That's not something I ever heard when I was growing up. And yet, do you see all kinds of people on that road going, you must be born again, you must be born again? No, you don't. Because they don't believe it. But God himself says, you must be born again. So are you going to do something about it because God says it, or are you going to ignore it? Maybe, you know, you haven't felt that you were that bad of a person. I would have to say, you know, I compared myself to many other people when I was growing up. I didn't get involved with all kinds of wacky stuff. But that doesn't mean anything because I'm still short. Don't start comparing yourself with others. The Lord Jesus says we're all short. Maybe you've decided, or maybe you've ignored God's word altogether about getting saved. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 2? It says this: for the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall you escape if you neglect it? Right now, if you're not saved, you've been neglecting it. You've been putting it off. You've been thinking, I don't have to worry about it right now. I'm healthy. I'm fine. You don't need to worry about getting saved. You're just going to continue to have fun like everybody else on that road. And yet, what does God's word say? How will you escape if you neglect it and just keep putting it off? You won't escape. Once you pass off this life into eternity, you're going to be there forever. How will you escape, God says? If you decide to repent, that basically means you're going to do something about it now. Repentance says, I'm changing my attitude and getting it settled now. I know that I'm on my way to hell. I know that I'm going to suffer the wrath of God if I don't do something about it right now. Repentance is changing your attitude to do something about it. That's what repentance is. If you walk out of this meeting this morning and you're not saved, why? Why? God is giving us his word. Maybe you should think about it. Repentance towards God means you're now admitting that you've been hurting God with your sins and deciding to accept what he says about you is true. Repentance is a whole change of attitude. The next thing I wanted to bring out was acceptance, or believing the gospel. We read in Mark and in Acts, repent ye and believe the gospel. And in Acts it says, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times repentance and believing kind of go extremely close together, but they're not always. You have to believe the gospel, the good news. What is the good news? Well, first of all, I sure hope you believe the bad news. The bad news is you're going to wind up in hell if you die the way you are without Christ. That's the bad news. The good news is you don't have to, because somebody else died for you. What are you going to do with God's salvation, though? It says faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? It's trusting him to have done something for you personally. It's trusting that when he was on the cross of Calvary, your sins were on him. And God was punishing him. And he was feeling it. He felt your sins. He felt the pain. He felt the torments. He felt what it would be like to have somebody scold you when his father was scolding him, when his father turned his face from him. He knows what it feels like to be scorned and to be shut out, to be rejected. He knows what it feels like, because that's what's going to happen to you if you don't take it as he did it for you. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is accepting that the brutality that he suffered was because of you and for you. Acceptance is not waiting around to see what the truth is. I think that's the attitude a lot of people have as well. I'll just wait until I die and we'll see. Acceptance is not that, because then it'll be too late. God has already told us in his word that you need to be saved now while you're alive, before you pass off into eternity, because then it's too late. You can't be saved. You know, I was enjoying something in our Bible study on Wednesday night. We were reading about Peter when the Lord Jesus was there, and he says to the disciples, he asked them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, I enjoyed that answer in the respect that he said it from his heart. Peter said it from his heart. He didn't say it from a textbook answer. You think about, you know, if somebody asked you if you're going to be in heaven, or how to get to heaven, I should say, what would your answer be? "Well, Jesus died for me." That's a textbook answer. Every child in Sunday school can answer that question. How do you get to heaven? "Well, Jesus died for me." But can you say it from your heart that there's a man that suffered at the hands of God in your place from your heart? Can you say that out of your heart and understand what really happened there at the cross of Calvary was for you? And not just pop it off the top of your head because you know the standard answer? That's the way Peter was. "Thou art the Son of the living God." And can you say from your heart, "He's the man that died for me. He's the man that suffered at the hands of God for me." And say it from your heart and not from your head. That's what acceptance really is. Acceptance is understanding what he did for you is true from your heart. Acceptance is not believing about Jesus, but it's believing in what he did for you is true. So have you repented and started thinking about your own soul, where it's going to be, and start agreeing with what God has written in his word? Have you taken God's salvation that's offered to you by putting your sins upon his Son and letting him bear the price and accepting it for yourself from your heart? Have you ever done that? Can you honestly say in your own heart that that man died for me? And the other thing I want to talk about was assurance. If you ask the majority of people around if they're going to be in heaven, their answers are, "I hope so," "I think so," or "I don't know," or "I'm not sure." That's what the standard answer is for the majority of people you ask, because they really don't know. But there's two things about assurance I want to speak about. It's one, that you can know that you're on that narrow road that goes to heaven. You can know that you're on this one road. And I call it a one-way street, because once you're on it, you can't get off of it, thankfully. You will never reverse your course from this road back to this one again. Because God keeps you. And the other thing about assurance is you can't lose it. That's basically what I was saying there. The narrow road is a one-way street with no ability to turn around. But you need to be on that road first. So you want assurance. You want assurance that you're on this road. How do you get that assurance? How do you know you're on that road? If somebody came up to you and said, "Are you on your way to heaven?" What would your answer be? So I kind of thought of it this way. You're in the middle of a lake, and you don't want to be just drifting around. So what do? You drop your anchor into the water and let the anchor sink to the bottom and grab on the ground or whatever, and it keeps the boat from floating around, right? So think of yourself as a boat, and your anchor is what you're trusting in. It's your trust. You're the boat. What you trust is your anchor. So can you picture yourself holding this anchor, and you don't want to be drifting around. You want assurance you're on that road to heaven. What do you do with the anchor? You drop it inside your own boat? Obviously, that's not going to work, is it? You're still going to drift around because you're anchoring inside the boat. Well, that's what God is trying to tell us, is we can't anchor into ourselves. So if you want assurance you're on that road, well, you're not going to get it if you start thinking, well, am I doing good things? Well, now you're dropping the anchor inside the boat. If you're thinking things like, well, am I doing good things? How do I know I'm saved? Because I'm doing good things? No. That's dropping the anchor inside your boat. You're still going to float around. Is it because you think, well, I'm religious, I go to church, I do good things? Again, that's like putting the anchor inside the boat. You're trusting yourself. And it's not going to do you any good because you're just going to drift around. You want assurance that you're on that road that goes to heaven. You want to know for sure that you're going to be in heaven and not in hell. Now, if you can say to yourself, I have assurance because God says so. Now you're not looking at yourself. You're not analyzing your life. You're not analyzing what you're doing. You're saying, I'm trusting what He is telling me in His Word. That's dropping the anchor outside the boat. That's dropping the anchor where you need to put your trust, is outside of yourself. That's what salvation is. It's trusting something outside of yourself. I used to have a bumper sticker on one of my cars years ago. It said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'm putting my trust outside the boat. My anchor is trusting in God's Word and in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord said that He died on the cross for me and took my sins, I believe that that's true because He said it. That's what assurance comes from. It comes from believing what God wrote in His Word because it comes from God Himself. You want assurance? It's going to have to be in God's Word, not in what your life is like, not in yourself because you do good things, not in yourself because you're avoiding sin. It all has to do with what's in God's Word. And the nice thing, too, about salvation, God uses several terms in the Bible that can give you the sense that you can't lose your salvation. I mean, that's a big question that comes to a lot of people. Is it possible to lose your salvation once you're saved? Well, let's listen to some of God's words, and you tell me whether it's even possible. Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a gift. Did you ever give somebody a gift and then say, I want it back? Well, it was never a gift then. If something could be taken back, it was not a gift. God says it's a gift. It's a gift to you that his son went to the cross of Calvary and suffered for you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 5 and 24, because it has three promises in one verse. And that promises are for the past, the present, and the future, all in one verse. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's a present possession, everlasting life. It doesn't say temporary life. It doesn't say intermittent life. It says everlasting life. I have it right now. And shall not come into condemnation. That's the future. I'm going to meet God, and I will not come into condemnation, because there's a promise in that verse. I shall not come into condemnation. And one more thing, it says, but is passed from death unto life. That was a transaction that happened in my past. I passed from death unto life. You know, we go to funerals, people pass from life unto death. But this says, I pass from death unto life. I have a promise for my past, my present, and my future. And God says it in his word and wrote it down. You know, it says about in John 3 and 3, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I was born again. I can't be unborn. Nobody's ever unborn. It's impossible. God put it in his word so that you can understand that once you're born again, you will always be born again. You can't lose it. You know, the book of Galatians is a book that very seldom must get studied. The book of Galatians brings out all these people that seem to think, okay, you get saved by faith, but you got to keep doing things to keep your salvation. And what does Paul say? He says in Galatians 3, 2 or 3, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you get saved by works or by faith? Well, everybody goes, well, it's by faith. Everybody knows that. Well, if you got saved by faith and you can't get saved by works, how on earth do you expect to continue to be saved by works? You can't. It's always been by faith. So God in his word is telling us over and over and over that you can't lose your salvation once you've trusted Christ. Once you have him as your Savior, you will always have him as your Savior. You can't lose it. And the reason is because he holds you. You don't hold yourself. He holds you. He puts the Spirit of God within you. And you can't lose it. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we wanted to go over. This finger here is pointing to the door. This morning I wanted to tell you how to get in that door. And the Lord Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Have you changed your thinking to think like God is telling us? Have you stopped thinking about what you think is right and said, I know what's right because God wrote it in his word. The Lord Jesus paid the price for my sins. And have you accepted Christ as your punished substitute? Is the one who bore your sins, all of them, from the day you were born to the day you die, all of them. There's not a single one left. He knew what you were going to be like and all the sins you would ever commit before you were ever born, but he still died for every single one. Have you taken the Lord Jesus as your substitute that God punished on the cross of Calvary? And do you have the peace of God in your heart that it's settled? That you can say within your heart that I have Christ as my Savior. I will be in heaven. You can be like Peter Thou art the Son of the living God. What are you doing about your sin? You're going to ignore it and hope for the best? You're going to find yourself in a lake of fire? Or are you going to come up and start agreeing with what God says in His Word? The Lord Jesus did pay that price. And all you have to do is accept His offer for free. There's nothing you need to do except accept it. There's one more statement that I think is pretty emphatic by Paul. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." You know that Paul would say that he knows he's going to be in heaven. He knows he's on that road. Can you say you're on that road this morning, this afternoon? Can you honestly say you're on that road? And if you can't, why don't you start changing your thinking about what God says is true? Because eternity is an awful long time to be wrong. Eternity is a long time to guess and be wrong. So there is a song I thought maybe we could sing, but we'll sing it after we pray. It's 409 in the green book. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we give thanks unto Thee for our Lord Jesus. We can thank Thee that we have a gospel to preach. It's truly good news. And we just pray that Thy word would go forth to any that need Thy salvation. Their hearts would be changed, that they would see their sin. They would see how they're hurting God and hurting others and have a desire to be saved from their sin. Pray that God bless us as we part, as we give thanks for our Savior in that worthy and precious name. Amen. 409 in the green book. I should have said something earlier, but I forgot.